Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network.
And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we'll go back in time, the season's past, when 22 men graced the rugged fields of yesterday, fighting for one more first down, one more yard gain, one final score that would bring victory. Battle on the gridiron. Tonight, we'll explore the world of gridiron greats. Welcome to Gridiron Greats Football and Memorabilia on the Gridiron Greats Publisher and Broadcasting Network. We're live from the Southport, North Carolina home of Gridiron Greats Magazine. I'm Bob Swick, publisher and editor of Gridiron Greats Magazine, and I'll be your host for the show. Gridiron Greats is the only publication in America that focuses upon the history and memorabilia of the North American football game since its inception in 1869. We cover 150-plus years of football history and memorabilia, and you'll find us on the web at GridironGreatsMagazine.com. It is at this time I'd like to introduce my co-host, the senior contributing writer to Gridiron Greats Magazine, a football memorabilia historian specializing in pre-World War II items, in particular Red Grange, and also Seattle Seahawk items, in particular Steve Largent. Two hails from Portland, Oregon, Mr. Joe Squares. Joe! Welcome to the show this evening.
Captain. So good to be back. Seems like, just a couple days ago we were speaking.
we're in one of the most rapid Gridiron Greats podcast schedules ever, as the year will be over in scant days, and we are finishing up our shows for 2021. And I'd like to announce to our audience this evening, and for those people who are going to be listening, we are going to do a early year-end wrap-up for Gridiron Greats on the podcast and the football card and memorabilia collecting worlds. We're going to have one and possibly two shows after this show, but while we have our schedule availability right now, Joe and I are going to be talking about the year in review, 2021. And a lot happened this year in the hobby. A lot happened, especially to me personally, in the hobby, since I made a move from the illustrious compound in Wallingford, Connecticut, to a someday finished town here in Southport, North Carolina. So I moved. I have not seen literally anything in my collection since August of this year, because everything is still in storage. I've got a handful of my really personal items here with me, and I can't wait to see my collection again. I'm getting antsy, and hopefully everything looks like we're going to be in January, so things will be better and more back to normal at that time. But in any event, a lot happened in 2021. And I think the first part of our show tonight, we'll go over some of the guests we had on the show in 2021, and then we'll talk about a bunch of auction items and another, and we'll also talk about a bunch of other items that happened and occurred during the hobby during our past year. So I'm going to lead off talking about a few guests. One guest we had on twice this past year,
yep,
for a very, very important reason, because he was going to be, you know, he was in a contest to get elected to be a finalist as a fan in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that is our good friend,
yep,
of the show, Cleveland Browns super collector, the show dog, Ray Prisby. And
yes,
I'm very happy Ray won. We got to see a lot of inside stuff that he went through during the whole process. And he has been on the show numerous times. But as far as I'm concerned, any man with that kind,
yep,
of collection of Cleveland Browns,
oh, yeah,
is more than welcome on the show any day.
Yep.
Ray
just
Show
incredible.
Dog was in, Ray Show Dog was in episode 77. Talking about the selection of, you know, just how it worked out and Jim Brown's personal visit to his home. And then he was on, mm-hmm, a month later, episode 79, talking about the experience of winning, being the, you know, Hall of Fame Collector of the Year. Definitely a great guest. And what a great honor to win that.
Incredible. Truly incredible. I mean, it just, it gives me goosebumps to even think about it. And my bucket list, there's a few collections I still need to see, and Ray's going to be one. I'm going to try to get over there to Ohio and stop over his house and just take it in, because it's an incredible collection, to say the least. We also had on our show this past year John Sanchez and his McFarlane Super Collector collection. His stuff was just totally unbelievable, and it's completely different than the,
yeah,
norm that we look at as what people collect, to say the least. And John gave us some inside inside view of his collection in a, I don't know what the word's trying to, is like a catalog he sent to you and I with regards,
oh,
to it. It's truly amazing, truly amazing.
This is Mike Johnson, correct? The custom McFarlane maker?
No.
Did I grab that out of the book?
No. Mike Johnson was the one who actually created a bunch of those for John. John was the actual collector. So
oh,
we had
got
John
it.
On.
Those,
John was on January,
right,
20. Yeah. John was on January 26th. And then Mike was on June 7th. And he discussed how he made them, so on and so forth. So,
oh,
but John's collection is just truly incredible to look at and to view. Amazing, truly amazing. And we had good friends, Martin,
yeah,
Jacobs on.
He had.
In April.
Yeah, John.
April 28th.
Catalog that he sent us for review was incredible. The Chuck Bednarik hit, the Four Horsemen. There was just some really, really good McFarlanes that he had made there. That was impressive. And again, just a different, as we were talking with Judy earlier, a subset of the collection, of collecting. Just,
right,
he collected football cards and sheets and tickets, et cetera. I mean, and you might even just say, sheets, tickets, stubs, and programs are a subset of collecting. And, you know, collecting McFarlane's is too, and it's fascinating to see what other people collect. It's kind of cool.
It's definitely cool, and it definitely gives you a better perspective on the hobby, especially when you're looking at somebody like his collection, which is incredible. And again, that's what he focused on, so that's his collection, and it's just amazing to me. Beautiful collection of stuff that he has.
Yep.
And again, you brought up a good point. Judy was just our most recent guest that we had this past weekend. And, I had a couple of people comment to me about her and her collection. And they brought up about, you know, the paper, you know, paper collectibles. And they're becoming scarcer and scarcer. Is that good? Is that bad for the hobby? Debatable, to say the least. But again, I always enjoyed any game I went to. I would try to pick up a program and keep a ticket stub, my ticket stub from the game. Obviously, some games that I went to over the years, we didn't have, you know, in high school, we didn't have programs, we didn't have tickets, so on and so forth. A few college games I went to over the years, not just for football, but for other games I saw, we didn't have tickets, we didn't have programs or anything like that. But today, because it's so, everything is so electronic, yada, 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 all that area is rapidly losing steam, and I don't think that's necessarily good for the hobby for the long run, to say the least. But I still think there is always going to be a strong part of our hobby looking for statues, bobbing heads, McFarland, so on and so forth. Yeah. I think that's always going to be evident.
Yep,
to say the least. Like I said before, we also had our friends Martin Jacobs on April 28th and Chris Willis May 27th. Chris,
Martin to me is a piece of the hobby. I mean, anyone who's talked about being a, you know, humping up and down Kaiser Stadium carrying pop and delivering it is incredible. I loved his story about how he, you know, started to come across jerseys and stuff. Just I loved him as a guest.
Yeah, Martin and I go back a long time. And again, I really got to thank him for his contributions to Gridiron Greats magazine. I know it keeps him young writing those articles, and you know, just amazing, just an amazing memory and recollection of all the games that he's seen, he's gone to, all the eras he's been through, all the players he knows and has known. Truly amazing aspect of his knowledge of not just the 49ers, but the NFL in general, the AAFC in general. And an amazing man. Chris Willis is Chris. I mean, he's an incredible author, 7 books, working on another, dream job at NFL Films, never without something to talk about with regards to his next project, so on and so forth. I was talking to somebody maybe a week or two ago, and we had mentioned my old Football Times newsletter, and I said Chris was one of my first writers for the magazine. He wrote to me, and he said he was in grad school, and he'd like to write something about, you know, football. Well, I said, sure, go right ahead. So I kid everybody. I said I gave Chris his chance in the hobby and chance in the publishing world, and he just went forward with it all the way. But amazing types of books he's written and amazing information he's provided the football world in general, to say the least.
Totally. I keep waiting for that Steve Largent, book to come out, but I'm sure it's somewhere on the list of Chris.
He's coming.
Great guest. I always enjoy talking to him. He's really fun to follow on Twitter as well. He's very active, very knowledgeable.
Very much so. We also had a bunch of super collectors from other teams over the year. They included Byron Adams, who was a big Dallas Cowboys super collector on March 16th. And we also had Troy Jolly, Green Bay Packers super collector on March 4th.
Yep.
And
I like Troy.
We also had him.
I remember his white whale was a Don Hudson Wheaties panel.
Yep. Amazing piece.
Yeah.
Those two guys had incredible collections.
Great collections.
Incredible collections to look at and to view. Truly amazing. And then we had a gentleman from Twitter, Ball Journal, on March 24th. John Turry.
Yeah.
And we had a very interesting discussion with him.
Did you do air quotes when you
football.
Said very interesting? Bob, when you said very interesting, were you doing air quotes above your head? that was me looking through people I follow on Twitter for a guest opportunity, and that was my swing and miss. I'm 0-1, Bob. I might not get another at bat with you.
Nah, don't ever say that. I mean, I've always said this. You know, when I started doing this many, many years ago, and I remember before I actually did the podcast, I was filling in on a bunch of podcasts for the old Leatherhead of the Gridiron Football Podcasting Network, and that was basically 2010, 2011, right around that time. And some of the shows we did with the old network, I never knew what to expect, and I never hosted anything. I was a co-host. I was a fill-in co-host. I was a guest host several times, and it was truly amazing, some of the stuff we went through on some of those interviews. And again, it's the nature of the business. You know, not everybody's comfortable about talking about things. And at the
Good
same
point.
Time, not everybody is, I don't know, for lack of a better term, excited about it. So, you know, it is what it is. So, but I got to say this, in all the years we've done this, we've had some very, very interesting guests, to say the least. And each year it seems something different that neither one of us knows anything about will pop up, and we'll talk to a collector or a writer or whatever, or whoever,
yeah,
with regard to their collection or their writing or whatever the case may be. And I use the example, May 11th, we had Gary Cabb on, who is a very unique collector on arena football, and in particular, he's a specialist in all teams Buffalo indoor football, especially the Buffalo Destroyers. And that guy, he's a walking encyclopedia of arena football. It's really amazing to when I talk to him. I've talked to him at length over the past year, and truly amazing what he knows with regards to arena football, which I think is very overlooked in a lot of cases for memorabilia, collecting, and just providing for the history of the sport of football and their additions to football. To professional football, to say the least. So he was a good guest. I enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah.
We also had a guest that could have talked for probably 3 hours straight, and that was on September 1st, our first show here in Southport, Rick Von Blair, who wrote that Los Angeles Rams book. Man, oh, man, that was incredible.
The team that changed the NFL. He was fascinating. His book was amazing. Got a copy of it afterwards. I couldn't agree with you more. Could have talked for hours. And we probably had a handful of guests over the years of just somebody like that where you look down at the clock and you're like, oh, my gosh, we only have a couple minutes left. And we're only through a couple questions. Judy was that way. We ran out of time last week.
Yeah. In fact, I did say to Judy, I said, we should have made it a two-hour show. We would have talked through it with no problem. And seriously, it was amazing. Really amazing. But Rick had some great stories, great history of the game, great time of football. That was wonderful. That was a wonderful show.
Awesome. Yep.
And then we had on September 23rd, my last namesake, Jeremy Swick from the College Football Hall of Fame. And that was a real interesting show, listening to what his tasks were at the College Football Hall of Fame and all the different areas that he's involved in. Very, very. That was a very interesting view of the Hall of Fame itself.
The process, and of getting people into the displays, how they set up the displays. Yeah, Jeremy, I was going to bring him up as well, Bob. I mean, just one of those guests that you knew that you'd spoken to before, just incredible. I mean, and I'm on the website while he's talking, just going through some of the displays they had, and he's talking about it and how they acquired some of the items and how they decide what to display. Yeah, just fascinating. Just somebody who's so close to the flame of the hobby, you know, that we love, and it's kind of cool. It's a really cool thing to share.
Yeah, it was definitely a great show, great informative show, to say the least. And then the week after that, we followed up with you weren't on that week. Jeff Payne was our guest co-host with Joe Guerin and his Patriots autograph collection. That was a great show to hear about all the different autographs. Joe had his passion for autograph collecting and the like, and the stories he had were very, very interesting, to say the least.
That led us into
obviously I'm the Ed McMahon to your, here's Johnny. But I mean, every once in a while, even Ed McMahon needed a vacation, and somebody stood in. Who that person is, nobody remembers. So hey, Jeff,
exactly.
thanks for stepping in for Ed.
Exactly. Yeah, that is true. I mean, you really don't know guest host or guest co-host for if somebody's out sick or if they're on vacation or whatever happens. But that's a good point. I have no idea who filled in for Ed McMahon on Johnny Carson over the years. So
that was more for Jeff
one.
than anyone.
And then a good friend of the magazine and our own personal friend, October 19th, Love of the Game Auctions. Our friend Al was gave us some great input, great background on auctions and what's going on, so on and so forth. Very interesting, to say the least.
I dig Al to
and
death.
I know.
I dig him to death. Personal friend. I used to split consignments between, Spano, Becker, at BST and Al. Just because both just very classy, good friends, classy type organizations who treat you very well. And I enjoy Al a lot. He's been to my house. He does the consignment runs, and he's been to my house to pick up consignments. He's a wonderful person. He runs a wonderful auction house.
Yeah, good advertiser, good friend of Gridiron Greats magazine also. November 2nd, we had super collector Richie Barrett on our show, and he talked about his collection. And Richie was a very interesting guest, talking about his items. And we followed
University
up on
University of Oregon. His U of O collection, Go Ducks. Richie is a dentist to the stars here in Portland, Oregon. So with my where I live.
Well, that's why I was wondering if he was your personal dentist. If there was something. Who's taking care of your dental needs there, type of thing. So, but he,
I proudly
Richie's got a great
zero cavities, zero
he's got
filling.
A great collection of
perfect mouth.
Great collection of University of Oregon items, USFL items he's working on, so on and so forth. Very interesting. And that led us to November 23rd, a person who I met in person. And I hand-dropped off a bunch of stuff to him before we were leaving. Eric Megden, a big New York Giants collector. Great collection of stuff, great team sets, great miscellaneous items of the Giants that he has in his collection. That was a nice show that day. And that led us into December 9th. We had Casey Warren. And Casey had a great collection that we talked about. And another almost neighbor of yours out in the west there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we've got some, and then obviously we had Judy Bartlett. And actually tomorrow night we are going to have Eric Stang, and he's going to talk about his quest for more Minnesota Viking cards. He is almost complete on owning every issued Minnesota Vikings football cards from 1960 to the current season, with the exception of a handful of one-on-ones that he does not have. So we've got some very, very interesting guests. We talked about a great deal of collections, memorabilia, aspects of auctions.
One of my favorite episodes we had, Bob, that you missed, was number 87. It was the Chicago National recap. My first national I've been to without a captain, without Captain Bob Swick there. It was odd not to have you there. A lot of good friends there. I mean, Jeff put up had a VFC dinner that we all went to, but so you kind of look around the room and it's like no captain, just interesting. Great national though.
Yeah. It was one show I hated to miss but again, with everything going on, it would have been impossible to get out there and be comfortable knowing what was going on. But in any event, I plan on being back next year. Next year, unfortunately, I know a lot of the West Coast guys will not be going out because it's in Atlantic City. And it's an interesting venue in the Atlantic City Convention Center and the like. So this will be interesting to see what happens next year and so on and so forth. But I know from what you told me, from what others told me, it was a great national convention. I think a lot of people were bottled up. They wanted to get out. They wanted to spend some money. They wanted to physically see football cards and memorabilia and all sports cards and memorabilia. They wanted to talk physically to people, once again, interaction, so on and so forth. So it was a great time for the hobby, to say the least. And it'll be interesting to see. I really hope everything is much more normal next year, which I got a feeling it will be. So, you know, things will just, shows will take place as normal again. The National will be in good shape, and things will be back to normal. Now, over 2021, because there weren't that many shows at the beginning of the year, as things were reopening, so on and so forth, auctions were happening every which way. And this part I'm going to hand off to you, Joe, and talk about some of the major auction items that you saw. I know you picked up a few things. What really happened this past year in auction?
Wow. Just, right, and it's a tough topic to talk about right now, just because we're right in the middle of the Sahara Desert of auctions, and just towards the holidays, right after Thanksgiving, before Christmas and New Year's, no auction houses run auctions. They just figure everybody's distracted, and probably rightfully so. But I'm looking at auctionreport.com right now. They don't advertise with us. It's just I bring it up. It's a site that I watch most auction houses advertise there, so that you can, in one nice spot, know when auctions are starting and going. I'm looking at it. There's a couple of auctions running right now, but they're nothing auctions, like JG Autograph, just people you don't hear of, people that have eBay-esque things. Heritage ended about 2 days ago with a nice auction that had some stuff in it, but there's nothing. There are no auctions coming up in the next 3 weeks of any consequence, and it's depressing because you know me, Bob. I love a good auction. I love looking at stuff.
And how are you doing?
Got it. Yeah, so a little depressing right now. Coming up, no auctions. I'll survive, obviously.
Yep.
But some pretty amazing.
This is the time frame I've always said that, you know, people normally shut down for 14 days, the two full weeks, Christmas, New Year's week, New Year's Day week, and you know, then figure what's the day going to be? January 3rd, that Monday, things are going to go back. You know, things will start picking up ever so slowly, so on and so forth. So it's a time for rest. It's a time for reflection. It's a time to step back from auction, so on and so forth. But, again, we saw a lot happening this past year.
Yep. REA had an amazing auction that ended about 2-3 weeks ago that had just a swath of unopened items, as did Mile High. I managed to – I think I've mentioned this, Bob, but I got back on the unopened bandwagon, and I have an idea, you know, where I'm going to put a display up in my office, and I got some recommendations for some glass displays that hold graded wax pads. Pick one up that holds about 20, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, a glass, you know, cover that's UV. And so I started collecting more graded wax pads. I dipped my toe in, and then I jumped in. I cannonballed, Captain. So I'm officially back in the unopened market, and I'm looking forward to putting a display in my office that just has, you know, 20 or so, you know, unopened wax packs. Pretty cool. So I ended up picking up about 6 of them in the REA auction, including some pretty rare ones, like a 62 Fleer, stuff like that. And, I don't know, I'm enjoying that. Really, the big thing that is in my sights right now, but is probably beyond my wallet. As I discussed this, it's a uncut sheet on eBay. It's 1958 Topps football with the iconic Jim Brown rookie card on it. 58 came in two sheets. So, Fifty-nine came in two sheets. 58 came in one sheet. 132
one
cards.
Sheet. Yeah.
One sheet, 12 by 11, 132
yeah.
cards. And so it was a pretty small set, but right there, upper right-hand corner, second from the right, top row, Jim Brown rookie card. I'm looking at it now. I've been in contact with the seller. He just wants too much. And so really when you and I were discussing topics, the best auction item I've seen is one that is sitting there like a giant middle finger on eBay to me, just saying I'm too much. I even offered to fly down to Reno where the guy lives and just kind of think it just can't come to a price agreement. And at some point, there are no historical 58 Topps uncut sheet sales in history. There's no comps for this. This is the only one I've seen. And when he and I were talking, he's like, obviously you're the buyer. You collect a lot of uncut sheets. Let's just discuss the price. Uncut sheet that had sold at Heritage, I believe, early in the year. And I'm like, this has a Babe Ruth in it, a Ty Cobb, a Red Grange, and a Jim Thorpe. I mean, this has a bunch of superstars. And this went for, $50,000, $60,000. Yes, 58 is rare, but it's not double that. So, I'm just trying to comp him with star power and stuff. We just haven't been able to come to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic example of,
obviously he feels he has a very rare piece, which he does, but he also has to be realistic about what the price is for the simple reason, there is a limitation, believe it or not. I don't have to tell you. There is a limitation as far as I'm concerned as a value of something, that is very narrowly collected one way or the other.
Yep.
That's the whole thing. So that's the problem. We
very
narrowly
collected, like you said. Yep.
Yeah. You're the expert there, so that's what it comes down to. So you have the handle, you're the expert on it. So he should be able to understand that a little more. But whatever, it is what it is, and that's it. Who knows? He may call you one day.
It is what it is.
I accept your offer, and we'll get together, and that's it. Simple.
How about you, sir? What was your favorite auction item to see come around?
The one thing I enjoyed looking at was, like you, all the unopened material. I didn't have anything that, to me, I didn't bid on anything, really, because everything going on. But just to see all that unopened material again brought back a lot of nice memories for me, and I really enjoyed seeing that. And I'm glad you're picking up the bug, because it's a great element of our hobby with regards to collecting, a great addition to your collection, to say the least. And I know, because I pretty much almost had a complete run of wrappers from the 48 Bowman, 48 Leaf, all the way up to the current year. And, half of me wanted to keep it, but then the other half of me said, it's time to move on with it. That's it. I did what I could with it, and I'm not going to do any more with it. But with unopened, you'll never go wrong. But for you, in your case, and this has always been my belief, you're uncut sheet collection by far and wide surpasses anything out there. That's the way I feel about it. Because how many sheets actually are still in existence, number one, and how many sheets are going to be found in the future? I venture to say very, very few, So I think it's just incredible. Incredible to see those uncut sheets. So
yep.
on and so forth. So
I'm pretty
very,
happy.
Very, very interesting, to say the least. But I didn't have per se something that blew me away completely. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that blew me away over the year. But the unopened wax and the memories from that were very, very interesting to me, to say the least. So,
yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun to look forward to get back into it. I think we had Steve Hart with BBC on last year. You know, and that,
right.
You know, that was after, you know, some really, really good experiences, emailing back and forth with him, you know, to get some stuff graded. Just pretty fascinating. Do I trust it? Is anything 100%? No, it's not. So, I mean, I definitely know there's a risk, you know, when you're buying stuff, even when it's BBC, you know, e-sealed, you know, et cetera. So, I don't know. But you know what? I'm really, really enjoying seeing, you know, the unopened wax boxes sitting on my shelf. It's very nostalgic for me. I'm really enjoying seeing the wax packs there. You know, we love this hobby, and we should be able to, you know, display it. That's what my plan is.
Right. Right.
I'm going to really enjoy it.
That's the one thing I'm having a tough time right now, because everything is in storage. I really can't pull anything out at night and just look at it, you know, or pull out a media guide that I have and just, you know, skim through it again just to look at it, or even reference stuff, because I do like looking up stuff. But, you gotta enjoy your displays, and you gotta enjoy what they look like, so on and so forth. I know I ordered a couple large, for lack of a better term, bookcases with storage underneath them for the new house, and I just can't wait to get the stuff out of the boxes and display it again, just to see it again. I mean, I miss that, to say the least. So,
what do you want to thumb through?
I miss my run of football cards, because inevitably I would pull a binder out at least every 3-4 days and go through it and just look at the cards again. I mean, I have all my cards in 8 or 9 pocket sheets in binders, and obviously I have nothing graded, so I have everything in the 9 pocket or 8 pocket sheets. And it's fun to look at, you know what I mean? And I could go back and look at a card and say, gee, I really got to upgrade this card, but then I also remember how I got the card. So half of me says, well, I should upgrade it. The other half of me says, well, you know, I know where I got this card. It's got a lot of history to it, in my opinion, and I'm going to keep it the way it is, type of thing. And again, all the shows we talked about, the Leafs and the miscuts and the trimming of them and so on and so forth, that binder of my 48 and 49 Leaf sets. And I was always saying to myself, how is it possible all these years later that all these cards are now found in incredible condition? I could never rationalize that as long as I live. And again, when I had all my notes available, I'd go back and say, well, I went to this show, a lot of local shows, I would find 1 or 2 cards type of thing. I mean, they're VG, if at best. You know, a lot of my cards in my 48 and 49 Leaf sets are fair good. They're not in great shape in any way, shape, or form. So where did all these cards come from? It's just amazing to me. You know what I mean?
These perfect cards.
Again,
that's
been a hot topic on and off. And you know what? I they are doctors. That's it. You know, if you want a real 48 Leaf set, I can show it to you. This is the collecting condition that I collected the 48 and 49 Leaf sets over roughly a 30-year period or so. Yeah, that was what's available in the market. You know, that's it. That's what it comes down to. But
is
what it is, and that's it. You know, we don't have control over it other than to educate people about it, and that's it. But I got to say this, my run and my binders, I do miss at this time. And I'm praying everything is in the way I packed them in buckets. And once I open them up again, everything will be in good shape. So We'll see what happens.
It won't be long. hopefully, you'll be out of the condo and into the house. I mean, I think you told me it was like two or three months to go.
Yep. We've been down here. Today's day 124 that we've been in Southport. We moved August 18th into this condo.
Oh,
we're still waiting. So we've had three change dates. And I won't tell anybody that the new change date is this Friday, Christmas Eve. And I know it's not going to be bet, but, you know, like Brenda said, it's too bad they just can't get a, you know, huge group of people that are doing what they need to do. And they get in there and just finish it, and we can get in. So 75% completed. So we're down to the last 25%.
Good, good.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was thumbing through my notes from previous shows as well. There was a show we did at the end of 2020, I beg your pardon. And it was just kind of a tribute to, you know, Josh Leland, who had been on the show once. And you and I were talking earlier about that you felt you could have talked to for hours. And Josh was definitely one of those. And we had him on the show in 2019, early 2019, I believe. I remember where I was when we were talking to him. And I was just laughing, and we were all just, discussing the hobby. And he's been in the hobby a lot longer than me, which often most of our guests have. And then at the end of the year, you know, when he passed away last year, we did a tribute show to him and talked about him briefly. And I just that one kind of resonated with me because we don't lose that many, you know, friends of our hobby, you know, especially ex guests. So.
Yep. And it's. You know, it's a big loss to the hobby when he passed, and I know Leland's continues to this day being a very, very strong auction house, one of the most honest auction houses out there.
Yeah.
Big supporter of Gridiron Greats magazine also. And, you know, he set up his auction house so it will survive after him. But he's sorely missed in the hobby. I really...
Yep.
I can only imagine the tempo around the booth of Leland's at the National with him not there. His presence, he had a very domineering presence in the hobby. He was very well-liked in the hobby. He was very accessible. He was willing to talk about anything to a new collector to help them in an auction or helping people who had no idea what they had to bring it to auction and realize prices that were unbelievable to the consignees. It's to me, you know, we need more people like that in the hobby. That's all I can say. There are many good auction houses, many honest people, but he was definitely a commanding figure, domineering figure in our hobby, and definitely missed. And that, you know, that pops into my mind, too. We lost Pat Mills, who I hadn't talked to him in a while. I did not realize, I find out after, that he was ill and he passed away. He was only 59. Pat and I went back many, many years in the hobby trading cards. He was also another person who started writing for me on my old Football Times newsletter. And I was just utterly shocked when I found out that he passed away a few months ago. And such a shame. And he was a big Chicago Bears fan. He had a great collection of Bears items and football cards and the like. And he had a very strong passion. He loved Bears and variations on cards. He had a big collection of them. And that was a shame when I heard that. And I feel bad I didn't talk to him for a while either. That's the other thing that bothers me. But I don't know. Life gets in the way of things, and that's it. You know, that's what happens. But again, I don't know too many people have lived forever. So it is what it is. And that's it. That's what it comes down to.
All right, great way to put it, yeah.
If you're not a subscriber to Gridiron Greats Magazine, what are you waiting for? We got our 75th issue that's going to be coming out in the middle of January. Check out our website for subscription information, GridironGreatsMagazine.com. Now we got about 13 or so minutes left, Joe. A couple other points I want to talk about. New cards. Your thoughts. I know you don't collect them. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's going on?
I just feel like, I mean, I want to, Bob, you know, but as you know, I think I mentioned in a show several months ago, I went on, you know, Target and bought some unopened.
Right.
I didn't open any of it. I just put it away. And I think that's more of, what do they call it, you know, fear of missing out, you know, FOMO.
Right.
You know, I did it more of a, you know, well, what if there's a star in here? But I also know my, you know, place in the food chain of, you know, the hobby. I'm not the guy who's buying, you know, hundreds of boxes of wax pack and putting them in a warehouse and hoping in, you know, 8-9 years they're worth something. I'm the guy who 8-9 years from now buys it, you know, from the person. The only modern wax I have is 2000 SP, you know, that's Tom Brady's, you know, rookie card.
Correct.
It's the only unopened I have past 1988. Well, I guess I have some 89 Largent, you know, 89 Pacific Steve Largent. So I guess, you know, but hey, okay. You don't have that era. But it's
that was a set. Believe it or not, I have the trade with people that I knew throughout the country to finish that set. The 89 larger. This was back in 1990. We got like a stray box in at the card shop I was working at. And I bought a bunch of packs of them and I opened them and I said, well, this is pretty interesting. And I said, this is going to be a tough set to finish because you can't find these anywhere, especially out in New England at the time. But anyways, I think, again, I bought a bunch of those packs from 2021 just out of boredom here, and I opened them, and I just said to myself, I do not know how anyone can put together anything out of these. It made no sense to me whatsoever what was going on with the collation, all the chase cards, so on and so forth. And again, with Panini not getting the contract and going to Fanatics, we're going to have cards. I really don't know. I have no clue. And that's kind of unsettling, in my opinion. But it is what it is, and that's it, you know. Not much we can do about
it. I know you mentioned you bought a few things this year.
Yeah,
I bought
unopened
wax.
2021 score playoff and one pack of 2021 Donruss, and which are obviously all by Panini anyways, but not overly impressed with it at all. I was disappointed more than anything else. And what was interesting, I figure at least I pull a lot of Packers out of it. I think I got like four Packer cards out of all the packs I opened, which was, I thought was pretty funny. So, whatever, that's just the way they are, and that's it. That's how they're collated, and that's how they're selling them, and they are what they are, and that's it. Simple. But I would not recommend anybody, you know, missing the mortgage payment this month to stack up on 2021 score football, if you know what I mean. So,
but I mean, I just. It's the old man get off my porch phrase you and I have talked about before. Where it's, I have no idea. I mean, just when you think about even, I mean, take Patrick Mahomes. You know, what is his rookie card? I mean, he's got to have, you know, 500 cards that, you know, that are imprinted in the same year. You know, there's just, I don't know, it's just, you know, the Panini refractor chrome, green, red, yellow, and then the unchrome, it's confusing to me, and I struggle to chase it. I look at what's going on in the basketball card world right now, where it's just, the black chrome and this and, you know, and all this stuff. And it's just, it's the shiny one of one stuff has taken over, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a sad day. You know, it's a sad day when the, you know, whatever it's called, the 2000 playoff contender, you know, Tom Brady card with the gold, you know, badge instead of the silver badge. You know, you and I had a topic, you know, on a show, you know, 10 years ago, whatever it was, six figure cards. And we were talking about, you know, what could be a six figure card or what could be a six figure item. And, and then we started having several cards that were six figures. I mean, the Nagurski's up there, the Namath nine, et cetera. And now all of a sudden it's like, you know, there is $1 million card and it's owned by a Tom Brady. Everything else is a close, close second. I mean, you know, what do you think, you know, a 65 tops Namath PSA 9 would probably go for $250,000 now. I mean, I don't know, but whatever it is, the most expensive football card shouldn't belong to a card that's 20 years old. Call me old, and I'm not that old, but it should be a Nagurski, you know, it should be something. I don't know. It's fascinating.
And especially if you look at the game last night that he played in, you know, he became a very real football player last night. The man, you know, he is that person. That's the way I look at it, you know. So, okay,
yep.
You're right. I don't think either a card that's 20 years old should end up being a $1 million plus card. It is what it is, and that's it. In a way, it's very good for the hobby, and in a way, it's very bad for the hobby. So, you could equate it to, say, you collect. At one time, stamp collecting was very popular. A lot of people collecting stamps knew there were certain stamps they would never collect because of the cost of them. So it's the same thing with football cards now. There's certain sets. Somebody's a Tom Brady collector. They know darn well that's not one card they're going to be ending up having in their collection unless they have unlimited income. And, you know, that's, like I said, it's good and bad for the hobby, and I'll just leave it like that. There's not much else I can say one way or the other with it. But it is what it is, and, you know, we got to deal with it, and that's it.
Stuns me. Someone will pay $1 million for a, you know, for a 20-year-old card, and that's gambling, I guess. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. To a very large degree, it is gambling. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So, you know, again, if the hobby hadn't gone to so many different wax pack breaks. If the hobby didn't go to so many one-of-ones of certain cards, of certain star players, I don't think a lot of that would have happened as far as the run-up in price that we're seeing on certain cards.
Yeah.
So, again, it is what it is. That's it. And we got to deal with it. We got to go with the flow of it. Again, I've said this numerous times. I'm a dinosaur in the hobby. I don't like seeing a lot of stuff I see. There's nothing I can do about it, and that's it. I just make a comment on it and let it pass and be done with it and move on, and that's what we're going to do. That's it. But, again, I really feel if I had that much disposable income, I would put together a 35 National Chickle set. I would pick up some Shotwells. I would, you know, find obscure items of the history of the game, rather than something that new and that prevalent from a player who, you know, in reality probably only has a few more seasons if he's really going to play. And, yeah, he's a very, very good quarterback. Many people are going to argue he's the best that ever lived. I can see that also.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you want to own 101 and pay $1 million for it, so be it. That's the way I got to look at it. So, that's the hobby today. Well, on the other hand, we're talking about paper artifacts from years ago, which to me have greater historical value and probably should have more dollar value, or basically being given away. So it's an interesting contrast in the hobby. to say the least. But it is what it is, as I always say. All right, we're down to roughly 4 minutes. We're going to go into our two-minute warning. And, Joe, other thoughts, other areas you want to comment on?
It's been a good run of shows. We got a little bit behind. Some of that's on my schedule. I apologize, Captain, but I'm constantly saying it. I have the best seat in the house. I get to talk hobby with the captain, you know, 50 times, or, you know, excuse me, 20, you know, 25 times a year. And it's fun seeing the guests you come up with, just their reverence for you and your station in the hobby. And it's just, you know, it's fun. And there's been several times I've found myself sitting here listening to people talk about the hobby, about a topic I'm very interested in, and then I've lost my cue where I'm like, oh, hang on, I'm up. It's my turn to ask a question.
It's interesting to listen, and I always said this a long time ago. Everybody's collection is different. It's unique. There's no such thing as a bad collection, and there's no such thing as, in my opinion, I've always said this, one person's collection is not better than another person's collection. If you like collecting just pocket schedules, cool. If you just like collecting yearbooks or media guides from football teams, that's cool too. You know, and we've had the full gamut of people and what they collect over the years, and it's pretty interesting to see what people really collect. You know, and I've always liked a variety of stuff in my collection. I always take I have a soft spot for any paper memorabilia, ticket stubs, programs, yearbooks, media guides, pocket schedules, player photos, team photos, written letters from coaches, players, so on and so forth. That, to me, that's I love that stuff. I always love it. Marketability, I can see it's dramatically different than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago in the hobby. I really can see that. And it's almost like a shun today, which it shouldn't be, because it is historical as far as I'm concerned. And like I said to Judy, and, you know, try to find an NFL team that still actually prints an actual media guide. They're few and far between. And I really don't feel like going on the computer at night and snuggling up with the media, you know, the 2021 media guide or whatever team type of thing. I'd rather just pull the book down and you know, read what I want to read and be done with it. So that's changed dramatically over the years also. I know, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, it's pretty interesting to see how he evolved, so on and so forth. But I guess that's where we can really wrap it up in a few sentences. The hobby continues to be the hobby, and if we treat it as a hobby, we'll enjoy it. If we treat it as a business, that's the person's prerogative. They want to do that. If they want to buy a card and treat it as a stock in the stock market, be that it may, you can do that too. Whatever anybody wants to do, they can do in our hobby, and that's it. That's all we can say about it.
One of my favorite parts of the show is we have a, I don't know if people notice, you know, if our listeners notice, but we have a standard question that we tend to ask all of our guests. It's most of the time, it's the last question that we ask them. Do you have any advice for other collectors listening in? And Bob, the number one answer is always,
collect what you like.
Collect what you like. Collect what you like. Don't chase. Don't get into shiny chrome refractors because there's money to be made there. You know, collect what you like, and the rest just falls in. And it may seem boring, but I really, really like that answer. And I think the last six or seven guests have said that, and I have a tremendous amount of respect when people say it. Just collect what you like, because this is a hobby. It's not a business. And, you should be collecting what you like and having fun. So, I don't know. I really enjoy that question. I really enjoy the answer.
And on that note, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. We'll be back actually tomorrow with another show. So we'll be talking then. Take care.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.